Can y'all hear me? Am I good? I don't know, microphones. Sitting over there, getting ready to talk myself up for this, I'm like, you know, I've been in this position about, I don't know, at least 10,000 times before ball games. Difference is, for ball games, I just made myself angry and went out there and did what I was supposed to do. Can't exactly do that when you're getting ready to get up here and speak in front of people about God. So I had to try a different approach. Mackenzie said she's going to come stand with me if I get too nervous. So here I am. Dallas asked me to do this about 2 months ago, and I was like, I got time. Well, it feels like he asked me yesterday now, because here we are. But we're going to get through this. If I pass out, y'all just, we're good. Pete, Heath, take care of me. All right, so strangely enough, when Dallas did ask me, I told him, even though I promised Lori I wouldn't, that I would pray about it and I'd think about it. But, hey, first of all, I want to tell y'all something. This takes a lot, and we need to make sure our pastor knows it. To work a full-time job and get ready for this, it's a big deal. So we need to make sure that Dallas knows we appreciate him, because this takes a lot of work. It's a lot of pressure, especially for me. He does a great job. I feel like a bumbling idiot right now. But I knew what I was going to pray about, because I thought back on it. And I thought about, like, the most recent God moment that I'd had, like big God moment. And it's going to seem small to some people, but it was big to me. So I titled this Silly Prayers, and I'm going to lead in with a story. I made Liam go to Children's Church so I could tell it, and I could tell the whole thing and get my full point across without embarrassing him. Most of y'all know how much I like deer hunting. I don't like it. I love it. It's my way to get away. Turn my phone off, shut out the world, and just be me. This past year, I made a comment to Glenn, because he misses a lot of deer that I don't miss. And about a week later, on Thanksgiving morning, I usually don't hunt on Thanksgiving morning, actually, because I usually have cooking to do. But there were a couple bucks on my camera that I went. One of those bucks stepped out about 6:40, and it was still pretty dark. So then my conscience came into play, and I gave him 10 minutes till I could kind of see. I finally pulled the trigger about 6:50. Couldn't see real great. Knew he wasn't hit. He ran off about 20 yards, and I shot again. Didn't even aim, just threw the gun up, pulled the trigger. I missed this deer twice. I ain't missed a deer in... Amen. Glenn gets it. I missed this deer twice within about a 30-second window. I got to my corn pile to check for blood, and I had to use my flashlight. That's how dark it was. If anybody's a game warden in here that I don't know about it, ignore what I just said. So, children too, sorry. So I look, and I finally call Frankie or text him. I don't remember what I did. And I needed some help. And so he comes, and we look, and poor Frankie, I think he knew within about 5 minutes that I missed that deer, but he still looked. He appeased my disappointment. So finally, I was like, you know what? I did miss. I missed. So I accepted it, and I moved on. So if I would have shot that deer, y'all got to understand, I hunt certain deer. I let them grow. I let small bucks grow and mature, and I shoot does enough to feed us through a year. If I'd have shot that buck, I would have relaxed. Well, I didn't, because I missed, and I felt pretty pathetic about myself, and my pride got the best of me, so I kept hunting hard. And December 6th, it was a Thursday morning, and I went hunting. We had the kids. I asked Lori, I said, it's going to be cold tomorrow. I need you to take the kids to school. She said, okay. And I went hunting. shot a doe pretty early. Text her, I said, tell the kids I shot a deer. I'm going to try to get it back to the house before, you know, y'all leave. Didn't work out, so I took a picture of it and I sent it to her. I said, hey, show the deer to the kids. I ain't going to get back. And she said, well, I can't show the picture to him because Liam's upset because he's not with you. And he was crying. So there went my morning. It went from up here to down here in no time. So I got the deer up, did everything I needed to do. But the next day wasn't my day to have the kids. So I called Leanna, their mom, and asked her if I could get Liam and take him hunting. And she said, yeah, sure. I said, I got to make up for yesterday. I can't be in the doghouse. So we go and we sit down about 4:15, and I give him my phone. So he's six, for anybody that doesn't know, my crazy six-year-old that just left. And he's kind of crazy. So I give him my phone and let him play a game. They don't play games unless I need him to be quiet. I need him to be quiet while I'm hunting, so I gave him my phone. So he plays the game, and a doe comes out at exactly, it's going to sound crazy, at exactly 5:03. I have all the times memorized. Comes out, and I said, hey, Liam, put down the phone. There's a deer. And he puts down the phone, watches the deer for about a minute, which reached for the phone. I said, don't grab that phone. And about that time, I saw a deer back in the woods, and it was a buck. And I said, Liam, there's a buck back there. Well, we went through this long 10-minute process. This deer just stayed in the woods, and I knew it was a buck, but I didn't know what buck it was. And trying to keep him calm, trying to keep me calm, because I missed, and now I'm worried about missing again if I need to shoot. And the deer finally steps out, and I see what deer it is. And it's bigger than the deer that I missed on Thanksgiving morning. It's a deer of a lifetime for a lot of people in Brooks County. And then I got more nervous than I am actually right now. It was pretty bad. So he finally steps out. It took like something like 16 minutes for this deer to step out. And when he did, I still didn't have a shot. It took like another 4 minutes for me to be able to pull the trigger. It's a lifetime in hunting world for somebody that loves to hunt. I'm going somewhere, guys. Hold tight. I keep telling Liam, hey, when I put my eye on the scope, you put your fingers in your ears. You keep your eye on the deer, though. And I put my eye on that scope no less than about 10 times, so he keeps putting his fingers in his ear and finally goes, Dad, can you shoot the deer? I finally shoot, and I hit the deer, and I knew I hit it right away, and he takes off running. And the doe stays in the field, and Liam, being anxious, goes, Dad, shoot the doe! And I'm like, no. So I put my gun down, and I grab him by the face, and I said, Liam, we got him. And he kind of, I guess, opens his eyes because I think I stretched them shut. And his eyes were watering. He was crying. He was so happy. And he was just shaking. And I said, we got him, man. And he goes, yeah. And then he goes, oh, Dad. I said, what? He goes, I peed a little bit. So, kids, y'all don't tell him I told y'all that story. All right, there's children in here. He's so excited that he couldn't even get out of the blind. There's two chairs in his way. We get out. There's no use in trying to get him to be quiet at this point. He's just loud as he can be. And I'm like, hey, we got to go back and get the truck. He's like, no, our deer's over there, and our truck's way over there. We got to go to get the deer. So we get the truck. We go back down there, and we get the deer. Frankie comes and help us. And it was a special day. What I left out is between 4:15 and when that deer walked out, I was praying that I'd see a deer that I wanted to shoot. Not just a deer, one that I wanted to shoot, but to make up and make that memory with him. I got to pray that deer out of the woods, and it seems silly to some people. But that's why I titled this lesson, Silly Prayers. God knows what we want, and He knows what we need. Hold on. I kind of want to skip this part, but I'm not. I can count on probably one hand the good, positive memories I have with my dad. So God knows. He knows what we need. I picked out three verses that I'm going to go over this morning. And we're going to start in 1 John 5, 14 and 15. In these verses, John's telling his recipients of his letter the importance of prayer. And in 14, starting in 14, sorry, I'll give y'all a minute. Starting in 14, it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." 15 says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we have asked of Him." Go back to 14 and it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything." He doesn't say if we ask for big stuff or important stuff. He says anything. In that one word, he wraps. That's a blanket statement. It's not a specific, "Hey, if you ask for important things, God's going to hear you." Anything means big, little, whatever you got. Me and Lori were talking about what I was going to speak about today when we went to the mountains, and she's smarter than I am, I'll be honest. And she said, "Yeah, it's like," he says that all the time about Emily. He's like, "Yeah, she's a lot smarter than me. I get it." She said, "It's like when the kids get in a truck after school and you pick them up and you ask about their day, like you don't know what's coming out of their mouth. Like it could be some like big thing, or it could be like, you know, some dramatic thing. Or if it's Liam, he just goes, 'What'd you do today?' 'Nothing." And I tell him, I said, "Well, if you didn't do nothing at school, you got to get a job. Like, I'm not sending you to school no more if you're not doing nothing." But that's how God is. Like, He just wants to hear about our day. He just wants to hear about our day, and He wants us to talk to Him, and that's it. So when she said that, I was like, "You're right." I mean, because we're His children, and He just wants to hear about our day, whether it's anything big or not. But what's big to them is not necessarily always big to us, but what's big, it's big to us because they're important to us, not because of the situation. After anything, He says, "Ask anything according to His will." We have to take our request to God humbly and with a willingness to accept the outcome. If we're not willing to accept God's plan and His will in our lives, you know, that might mean we're asking for things a little bit selfishly. Because obviously God knows what's best for us. You know, sometimes God, you know, we've all done it. We've all thought, you know, why ain't he answering this prayer? You know, sometimes God answers our prayers and he, you know, with a simple, I love you, but no. Or an I love you, but not right now. You know, how many times have you told your kids that? Like, I love you, but no. Nah. Like, Dad, can I have a toy? No, I just got you a toy yesterday. I love you, but no. No, it's not always best to say yes to your kids. It's not always best for God to say yes to us if he knows it's not what's best for us. And God has his own timing, too, to answer our prayers. It's not on. We don't, you know, we don't get to do things by our on our time frame. And that's where patience comes in. We do things in God's timing when he provides the resources or the doors to be opened, whatever it may be. We have to wait on that time. And sometimes it may be quick. Sometimes it may be really long. But we have to be patient and we got to wait. I stole this from somebody, but I'll be honest, when I was studying, I don't remember who, so I'm going to give credit to the unknown person that I stole this from. And it says, God gives us exactly what we would ask for if we knew what he knew. If we had the knowledge about ourselves that God has, how drastically different would your prayers be? Because you would ask for exactly what you needed, not what you thought you needed. So it says God gives us exactly what we would ask for if we knew what he knows. And I heard that, I was like, wow. Don't you think sometimes God's like, really, are you asking for that? Like, really? No. All right, the next verse is Ephesians 6:18. In Ephesians, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. 10 through 17 that I didn't type out and I'm not going to read. Paul's talking about putting on the whole armor of God, all the individual pieces of the armor of God. But he ends with 18 telling people to pray. So he's telling you how to protect yourself from the world by using all these pieces of armor. But he ends it by saying to pray. Why? Why do you think he left that for last? Our prayer lives and our one-on-one relationship with God is the backbone of our relationship with him. If you don't have that backbone, if you don't have that foundation, you can't put that armor on because it won't stand up. You know, if think about your relationships with your children, your spouse, your parents when you were a child. Whatever it may be, just somebody that you're close to. If you don't talk, if you don't communicate with those people that you love, that relationship's not gonna grow. So what Paul's saying here is, hey, pray, and then you're more equipped to put this body armor on so that you can go out into the world because you're ready for it. But if you don't have that core, that backbone of your relationship with God, there's no point in it. There's no point in it because there's no relationship. You have to have that foundation and that one-on-one relationship to go the next step, to protect yourself. All right, and the third verse is set of verses. Matthew 6:5-15. While y'all are turning there, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples about how to pray. They asked him how they should pray, and in 5, this is where he recites or says the Lord's Prayer, and that's his example to the disciples. Hey, this is how you should pray. So he goes into it. And in 5, he says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." God doesn't want us to pray in boastful manners. He doesn't want us to pray to be seen, to get a, you know, there's no godly reward for it. Your reward is your pat on the back that you thought you were going to get before you said that prayer. He goes on to verse 6, and he says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And some translations that I saw says will reward you openly. God wants our undivided attention when we pray. There's nothing wrong with praying in public. That's not what he meant in 5. There's nothing wrong with praying in public, but you have to do it in the right spirit, and you have to do it with your heart right, not for some kind of selfish reward and any kind of look at me. But God Jesus in verse 6 tells everybody that you should have a place. You should have a place where you can go and sit. And he says, in your room. It can be anywhere. My place is in the woods. I think I need to find another place from like the middle of January to the middle of October, because then I don't get to go hunting. So I do really good for like 4 months, like, and there's real like deep prayers because I get hours and I'm by myself. But I need to find an in between hunting seasons. But God wants us to plug into Him and have a place to where it's just quiet and there's nobody around and it's just you and Him. And there's no structure to it. It's just talking. And I think that's where a lot of people get hung up is, you know, how do I pray? Just talk. Just talk. God just wants to hear from us. But in this instance, he's telling the disciples, hey, have your alone time to where you can really plug in and connect, where there's no distractions. But yeah, my place is in the woods. So, you know, maybe ask yourself, you know, do you have a place? And if you don't, find one. Like I just said, I need to find one for the other 8 months of the year or whatever. But on the other side of this, there's different kinds of prayers. Those are long prayers. Like you think of that that movie War Room, where that lady, I think she says she has her prayer closet and she gets in there. And I think of Miss Mary Ann when I think of that, because there's certain people you think of like they got a little bit more of a direct line to God than maybe I do. But there's, you know, on a daily basis, though, you should be in prayer almost constantly with God throughout your day with what I call, this is just my made-up term, with thank you prayers, just quick thank yous. And that keeps your mind close to God, and it keeps you right and your attitude right. Now, there's some days where we all do a pretty poor job of that, and we let things get in the way of it. But when your mind's right and your heart's right, everything comes back to God. And you're not sitting down with a, you know, dear Lord, you know, thank you for this day prayer. It's just talking. And that's what prayer is. It's not a structured prayer, so to speak. It's just a conversation. So there's both of these are important for our walk with God, because we have the in-depth ones where we really go to Him and plead and you know, just lay out our hearts. But then there's these quick ones that are just like me and y'all talking. And he wants both of it. He wants both of it. All day, every day. And then he wants those, you know, those private ones as well. In 7 and 8, he said, Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. I think a lot of people get this twisted, and it doesn't make sense to them. Hey, Jesus is not saying right here to not be persistent in your prayers. He's saying not to pray with empty words. Don't recite a prayer and not even think about the meaning of it and just move on. You're doing it just to do it, and it's habit. God wants us to be persistent, and He wants us to be, you know, persevere in our prayers. It shows Him that we want things. It shows Him that we desire things when we come to Him over and over with those consistent prayers. But He doesn't want empty words. He doesn't want empty prayers. And then 9 through 15, Jesus goes into the Lord's Prayer and recites what we've all memorized as exactly that. But Jesus shares this with the disciples as an example. It's not an exact model of how we should pray. This is just an example. But when He does that, I stole this from Joby Martin, a pastor in Jacksonville that Heath introduced me to a long, long time ago. And we both listened to him a lot. He said in the Lord's Prayer, God set kind of an order when he said that. And he said that order is 1 be in adoration, 2 be in alignment, and 3 be in ask. Adoration, when it says hallowed be your name, we're to tell God how great He is, how much He does in our life, and how good He is to us. So we should start that way, and that leads with thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for being as good as you are. And then the alignment, it goes into asking God for His will to be done in your life. And then ask. Ask for what you desire. Ask for what you think's best for your life. But if we're honest, if we ask for the second one, for God's will to be done in our life, how many questions can follow that? How many things can we, you know? If we focus on the first two, if we focus on adoration and alignment, then do we even get to the third one? Because if our day-to-day walk with God is in line with His will, what else do we need? There's not much to ask for after that. I thought it was pretty good. It caught my attention when he said it. Doing good. I'm going to leave y'all with a few thoughts before I get done. Those are the three verses that I had. But I want to leave y'all with a few thoughts. That maybe you can leave with, that'll stick with you. First of all, no matter what, our prayers, big or small, are important to God because we're important to God. It doesn't matter what they are. It doesn't matter how silly they may seem. They're important to Him. So I know I've done it. You sit there and pray for something that kind of seems trivial or not important. And you're like, there's starving kids in the world. Why am I praying for this? Don't minimize God's ability to handle everything, because He can handle the starving kids and He can handle your small prayer at the same time. Don't minimize the power of what God can do by thinking that your prayer's too small to bring to Him. Because unlike us, God can do billions of things at one time. And He can handle it all. If you think about it, those that are parents, and most of us in this room are, as bad as we want to do what's right and what's best for our kids, Don't you think that God, as holy and righteous as he is, can do that and so much more for us because we're his kids? I mean, you know how bad you want what's best for your children. But we're evil sinners when it comes down to it. And we just can't do what God can do for us. So turn to him. Whenever you have something going on, turn to him, because he can do what we can't. Back to J.B. Martin, I stole this from him as well. If you've never learned, listened to J.B. Martin's sermons, you should. He has a way of breaking down the Bible that is like none other. He is simple and he is to the point. But anyway, I didn't get paid to say that. Just you should go listen to him. He wrapped up his sermon on prayer, and he said the main point of his prayer was that prayer is not about information. He said it's about intimacy with the Father, and prayer is the means by which our sovereign God accomplishes on earth as it is in heaven. That makes sense. And he might have stole that from somebody else. I don't know. But either way, it's good. And this is the last thing I got. C.S. Lewis was quoted, and he said, "I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me." God doesn't need us to pray. He wants us to pray to him. He doesn't need anything from us. We need to pray because it changes us, and it gives us a direct line to God himself. If you want to grow and if you want to change, spend time with God and talk to him. Tell him about your day, your concerns, your battles, your wins, all of it. He wants to hear about it, even if it's about a silly deer. And a memory with your kid. It doesn't matter what it is. Give him credit and be thankful for what he's done for us. And you do that by praying. Guys, I appreciate it. I didn't die. I'm still standing up. Dallas is going to give the invitation in a minute. I'm going to close us in prayer, and then he's going to come up. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and all its many blessings, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to get up here and speak. I thank you for our church, and I thank you for everybody here. I pray that you'll be with all the sick and the traveling. Pray that you'll be with us throughout the week and keep us mindful of you. Lord, we thank you and we love you. Amen.